Father, we thank you today for the great privilege, the greatest privilege a human being can ever know, is to be yours. Purchased with nothing less than the power of the sinless blood of Jesus, the Lamb of God. And today, Lord, as we stand here, we stand in awe of you. We stand wondering sometimes what the future holds. We stand, but in one thing we know for sure, that you are God, that you are King, that you're seated on the throne of all power, majesty, and might, that your kingdom is an unshakable kingdom and shall rule in the ages of the ages. We thank you, Lord, that even though we're in a present evil age, Lord, there's an age to come where this earth shall experience the fullness of your government. Lord, we thank you that by the Holy Ghost and by your word, we've been able to taste of the powers of the age to come. And Lord, we've received inspiration. We've been filled with your spirit. We've seen demonized people set free, sick people healed. We've seen the dead raised. We thank you, Lord, for the powers that you've given us in Christ. Powers to speak the word that you've released from heaven, the prophetic word. Power to see miracles take place. Power to see supernatural multiplication of food. We thank you, Lord, for the days we're living in. We thank you, Lord, that this is our time. We weren't born in another time. We were born in this time. So we thank you, Father. We thank you for your keeping power. We thank you for your keeping grace. We thank you in Jesus' name. I'm going to read out something very controversial. Something that Jesus said. But let me just develop it as we could. Somebody bring the beautiful table that Pat and Ann set for us, the table of the Lord. Could somebody bring that and put it in the middle here? Jesus said this, John. John chapter 6, verse 48. I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which comes down from heaven, that one may eat, or one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I shall give is my flesh, which I shall give for the life of the world. Of course, the people didn't understand it. That's okay. We wouldn't have either. Verse 52. The Jews therefore quarreled among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? Verse 53. Then Jesus said to them, most assuredly I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Man, that was controversial. Verse 54, whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life. And I will raise him up at the last day. What last day? The last day of this age. Verse 55. For my flesh is food indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so he who feeds on me will live because of me. Verse 58. This is the bread which came down from heaven. Not as your fathers ate the manna and are dead. He who eats this bread will live forever. Wow. And a number of people, many people, misunderstood that. And a whole lot of his disciples left him that day. And he turned to the 12 and he said to them, are you guys going to leave me as well? And Peter turned and said, where else would we go? Who else has the words of life? Jesus later on goes on to speak about how his word is spirit and it's life. And some of you here today, maybe you're here for the first time, maybe you're watching online for the first time, you're thinking, oh my goodness, what is all this about eating Jesus' flesh and drinking his blood? Well, we know that it's not literal in terms of eating his literal flesh and drinking his literal blood. We know that. That's never been the practice of this house. But what we do have is very powerful symbolism, very powerful analogies, symbolism, types and shadows, if you want to use that language as well, that point to what Jesus is speaking. In the wilderness, in their wilderness journeys, God supernaturally kept the children of Israel alive in that wilderness journey from the time of their captivity in Egypt through till the time they came in to cross the Jordan and begin to possess the promised land. He kept them alive day and night by every day except one. Every day except one, which was the Sabbath, when they would go out in the morning, there would be manna on the ground and they would spend time gathering that manna up and that would sustain them. There was also other things that happened, but the manna was symbolic of God's provision for Israel for 40 years in that time of transition. It was supernatural, it was completely miraculous, but it was God's absolute provision. But you notice that Jesus said that the people, your fathers ate that manna, but it did. So in other words, it was a provision to keep them alive for a particular period of time, and it was to keep them alive naturally. The manna that God provided was not of the same nature as Jesus, the heavenly manna, or Jesus, the heavenly bread. The natural manna that they ate in the wilderness kept them alive for a period of time. But Jesus is using that as a picture to show, I am the bread that's come down from heaven. I'm the one that's come down and settled, if you like, and you can come and eat of me. I'm the true eternal heavenly manna. You can come and eat of all who I am, all that I've provided, all that I'm going to do for you through the cross, through the resurrection, through the ascension, and through the positioning again in the right hand of the Father. Everything that I provide is part of this eternal bread. Everything I provide for you by revelation, by you consuming my word, by letting the Holy Spirit release the understanding of that in you, you will live eternally by that. The bread I give you is not a temporary fix. It's not a temporary life support system. It is an eternal life itself. Everybody who eats my flesh and drinks my blood, everybody who comes into revelation of what the body of Jesus is about and what the revelation of the blood of Jesus is about will have revelation in them. The Holy Spirit will release eternal life in them and you will live forever. Not only that, if you've already come into the place where you've got revelation of his body and his blood and you live by that, you live by faith in the Son of Man. You live each day by faith in the Son of Man. You live each day by faith in the power of his blood. You live each day by faith in the power of his body. You have eternal life. It's already your possession. And so as we come to the table today, we come in the knowledge that if we eat his flesh and drink his blood, we will have eternal life. Not only that, he will raise us up on the last day. And it's my reading of the script, the way I read the scriptures, I understand that to be the last day, to be the last day of this age. And it's not the end of the world. It'll be the end of a governance system. And there'll be a whole new heavenly governance system on earth. So it's not the end of the world. It's the beginning of the true new age. There's a whole lot of people running around trying to create a sense of new age. through spiritual alternatives, but the true new age is going to fully settle when Jesus returns in bodily form and establishes his government. And those of us who are in him, who are in the resurrection, will rule and reign with him in various levels of responsibility. Mike's teaching was very clear, but most of us understood that anyway. It was just great that he was able to make that so beautifully clear. It's how we've understood it. And so in the meantime, we have the Holy Spirit with us. We have the Word of God with us and in us. We have the power of the blood of Jesus, this represented by this cup that works in us. We have the power of his body, all that he is, his healing, his grace, his kindness, his mercy, his forgiveness, his deliverance power, his sanctification, all of those beautiful things that are in him are all ours. And as we eat this, we are saying yes. We are saying, I believe, yes, this is mine. This is what I'm aligned to. That's what we're saying. And we take this into ourselves by revelation and by understanding. And oh, I want to tell you, it's an amazing thing to wake up in the morning and know you're saved. Wonderful to see you, Anne. It really is. Just wonderful to see you. I trust the recovery is going well. Okay. It's wonderful that I remember when I was first saved, first came into salvation. I remember the morning after I woke up by saying, I'm saved. I'm saved. I'm saved. It was an incredible feeling to know I'm saved. I would like Connect Group leaders to come and start to distribute this bread and this cup. We're going to drink together. You know that we're eating of, anybody know they're a Connect Group leader? You know you're a Connect Group leader? Just come on up and begin to distribute these. If we don't have enough here today, we'll use other people as well. But thank you. Begin to distribute. Just, I don't know if there's enough to go, cups to go around. I don't know. It was hard to calculate because there was a few little glitches that happened, and apparently, and so in terms of the registration system. So we trust there's enough. If husbands and wife, you might need to share one. Wet your lips. There's only one body. There's only one Jesus that we all eat of. There's only one Jesus that we all eat of. There's only one body. There's only one blood sacrifice that we're all cleansed by. That's the precious blood of Jesus. Hell shakes when you mention the blood. It sends tremors through the demonic realm when you mention, out of revelation, the power of the blood of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. It causes hell to shake because hell knows that the power of the blood defeated it. Defeated its ability to govern humankind. Once revelation touches your heart and mind that Jesus shed his blood for you and you do not have to be under the dominion of that old ruler anymore, it realizes its grip on you has been broken. And you're another one he's lost. We eat of one body. We eat of one blood. We drink of one blood offering. That should really speak to us in this current time. When the forces of darkness and in the spirit realm want to try and use this situation to divide and divide very deeply, to divide families, to divide marriages, to divide extended families, to divide companies, to divide businesses, to divide churches if they can, to divide the church if it can. We've got to remember, church, that we eat of one body, one bread, one loaf, as it were, and we drink of one cup, the blood of Jesus. So we will not allow the devices of division Can I say to you again, we will not allow the devices of division to divide us in Christ. We will not put any natural thing, no opinion, no view, no conviction about this and that that's not in Christ. We will not put that before the fact we eat of one bread, one body. We're baptized into one Christ. We drink of one Spirit. So, Father, we thank you today that as we eat the bread and we drink the blood, I pray for the Spirit of revelation to wash over us all and to flow over us all, to bring about revelation of your goodness and your power. I believe that as we, as the nation moves into the greater the possibility of wider spread of this thing, then believers need to go deeper and ask the Father for greater revelation of the power of the body of Jesus and the blood of Jesus. It's not time for just a superficial view of what the blood and what the bread of Jesus has purchased for us. We've got to go deeper. We've got to ask Holy Ghost for greater revelation. And there's also, I think, something about... I'll leave that to Janet to announce. So, Father, we want to thank you today for the cleansing power of your bread and your body and your blood. The fact that your body, your flesh is the door to the sheepfold that we come in through. And we thank you, Lord, that as we eat of you, as we take you inside of us, trust you and believe you, Lord, your word says you give us eternal life. We want to thank you. Father, as we eat this bread, drink this cup, just hold up the bread. Oh, you've got some there. Fantastic. That's awesome. Let's hold up the bread. Jesus, we acknowledge before you today, this represents and speaks of and mystically, somehow, releases grace to us as we eat in faith. Lord, help us understand more fully the power of the bread of heaven. As we eat of it today, Lord, we honor you, the fact that it's one bread that we eat of, one sacrifice, one Lord, one Father of us all, one Savior, and we're your body. In Jesus' name, let's eat together. Let's hold up the cup. Today, Lord, we acknowledge the perfect eternal sacrifice that you made for us. You were not a martyr. You had power to lay down your life, and you had power to take it up again. And today, Lord, we acknowledge the supremacy of your sacrifice over hell, over darkness, over the kingdom of darkness, over every demon, over every principality and power. We acknowledge the supremacy of your blood. Lord, we live by faith in the knowledge that you've saved us and you gave your life for us. Today, Lord, just as we lift up this cup now, so we lift it up over our lives. We receive and accept your betrothal. And Lord, you have accepted our betrothal to you. And this is the cup of the new covenant in your blood, which activates the covenant, but also seals the covenant. Today we drink in Jesus' name, and we honor you, Lord. Thank you, Father. So, I want to share a few things in terms of what is our response going to be at this stage to the government's introduction of what's called the traffic light system. Most of you will be aware that traffic light system comes into activity on the 3rd of December, which is, I think, Wednesday. Friday, my apologies, Friday. Well, that gives us an extra couple of days to gather up things. And so there's an announcement of the final shape of that Monday. That's right, the 29th. I had the 29th, all right. And so the main assumption I've heard is that Christchurch will be in an orange. Anybody got a better word than that? Anybody heard more accurately than that? And you've heard that they're going to take us to green? I've never heard green mentioned in relation to what they're doing. So we've met elders and trustees. We met on Tuesday night for a special elders and trustees meeting where we brought the two trustees that are not elders into the team to talk about what is our bottom line and what is our core conviction in relation to the issue of vaccine passports for entrance into Sunday gatherings or corporate gatherings. And so we shared right around the room what's our core conviction here? What do we feel? What can we live with? What can't we live with? What's our conviction here? And so it was absolutely unanimous around the room that we will not be using vaccine passports for this church. We know that has implications, and one of the implications is that each gathering is no more than 50. And some believe it's 50 including staff, but there's also evidence to suggest that it's 50 plus staff. So that's yet to be clarified. There's a number of things that are still being clarified for everybody. Businesses, churches, everybody are still looking for clarity. Everybody's trying to talk to each other. Movements are talking to each other. Churches are trying to talk to leaders. I've had a number of discussions. What are people doing? How are you feeling this? What are you guys going to do? You know. And so various leaders have chosen different attitudes, but it was really important for us to get a fundamental fear. What is our conviction? And our conviction is based, and I'm just going to run a few passages past you that are the key indicators, if you like, key conviction issues. And I'm only going to run three. There's a whole bunch I could run past you. But in James chapter 2, verse 1, if we use a passport system, it's my concern that we would violate this. Number one, James chapter 2, verse 1, my brethren, do not hold the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with partiality. And if you look at the context of that, it's partiality between wealthy and poor, rich and poor. And so you say, well, what has that got relevance to this now? There's actually a principle in there that is more universal than just the issue of rich and poor. It's about partiality, where we would turn people away because of a particular status. And in this case, it would be their vaccine choice status. I would personally not want to put somebody on our door into the position of having to turn people away. Can you imagine if somebody turned up with an unsaved person who did not have a vaccine passport and they have to get turned away? I just personally, I cannot live with that. Regardless of the repercussions, I just cannot live with that. Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 and 29. For all of you are sons of God through faith in Jesus Christ. This is Galatians 3, 26 to 29. Verse 27, for as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. I could not personally put myself in a position where I would be turning away some of Abraham's seed from being able to gather to worship. The restriction issues of 50 plus are heavy enough, quite frankly. And part of me this morning was rejoicing, part of me was grieving. 1 Timothy 5:21. I charge you before God and the Lord Jesus Christ and the elect angels that you observe these things without prejudice, doing nothing with partiality. Once again, it has a context, but the principle still applies. And so the government has given us choice in terms of whether we go vaccine passport way or whether we don't. And so because we've chosen not to, then we do have a limit of 50 per gathering, plus whatever, if that how it works out. So as we all know, things can change from week to week. Whether you like that or whether you hate it, things can change from week to week. And so these are our current plans. And so this is what we're going to try and do the best with. I want to read to you part of a letter from Apostle Mike Connell, a letter he sent out to a number of fellow ministry leaders. And this is, in my view, actually an apostolic letter. And I haven't read all, I'm not going to read all of it out to you because it goes into a whole lot of practicalities, but it is something that he's seeing and feeling, and in his prayer, he's wanting to encourage the church in. He says, dear fellow ministers church leaders are all facing challenges that are unprecedented in our lifetime. New Zealand seems to be following the approach to COVID used by a number of overseas nations, with a high emphasis on vaccine rather than on relief or prevention, as some other countries have done. The primary benefit presented for vaccine seems to be the prevention of the health system collapsing. This is what Mike's written, and I would tend to agree with that. In countries where the vaccination rate is very high, such as Gibraltar, Israel, and Germany, they are experiencing another major outbreak of COVID, accompanied by more lockdowns. So if you've had the idea that if the nation gets to 90%, we're not going to have a significant outbreak or we're not going to have more lockdowns, just look at the overseas evidence. This is Mike speaking. My personal thoughts are that the COVID virus and the turmoil it brings will be with us for a long time. Rather than live in hope of the circumstances changing, it would be better to consider how the church can thrive in this current environment. Okay, so we adopt a we don't flow with a reactionary attitude. We adopt a let's look for the wins in this. Let's look for the opportunities in this. Let's look to see how the church can overcome in this. Let's look to see how the church can grow and prosper in this and make more disciples. Okay. Otherwise, we're living reactionary. We're living ugly. Well, at least I can. We can live, and instead of moving forward in faith, we're trying to progress in anger. And believe me, I have my moments. I have my moments. But I've got to position myself to look for where we can win. So often the church adopts a reactive position that alienates itself from the community rather than a proactive response which is full of faith, hope and faith. I have no doubt that Jesus has known all along that the world and the church would enter such a season and that he can reveal the great opportunities available during this global crisis. Key questions. How do we grow the church in these challenging times? Number two, what creative changes can we make in how we do church or how the church meets or how the church functions in its core mission calling and sending? I've added some words to that. How can we cast vision for this? How do we prepare for this? Well, we're preparing as fast as we can, to be honest. Things to consider. I'm nearly, not a lot more, but things to consider. In nations which have forbidden church gatherings, he's talking about through history, in nations that have forbidden church gatherings, The church has thrived as they met together in homes and built strong prayer and dependency upon Holy Spirit as they did in Acts chapter 2. Number two, China massively exploded with growth when people could no longer gather in big groups and could only meet in houses to pray and depend on the Holy Spirit. Letter C, or number three. Since the 1950s, there have been progressive waves of restoration by the Holy Spirit approximately a decade apart. This has led to the restoration of the office of the evangelist, the pastors, the teachers, the prophets, the apostles, in this order. The process of restoration is quite systematic and has been widely experienced. But sadly, letter E, or number four, whatever that is, sadly, in each of these moves of restoration, the focus has become centered on the man and the office, or the woman and the office, depending on the situation, elevating their importance rather than focusing on the God-intended purpose and function for these offices or functions. Looking at Ephesians 4, verse 11 to 14, concerning the fivefold ministry offices, what would come next? Clearly, the unity of the fivefold ministers under apostles and prophets for the purpose of equipping the saints for engagement in ministry and for growth and maturity. In Ephesians 4, 11 to 14, and he himself gave some to be apostles and prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry. Some translations bring out the correct emphasis on this, for the equipping of the believers or for equipping of the saints for the works of their ministry. Not for the works of our ministry, but the works of your ministry. The only reason I exist as a fivefold minister, apart from the fact that Jesus loves me and I'm a son of God, which is the eternal good point, but any grace that's on me is either apostolic or prophetic or whatever, pastor or whatever, is to equip you for the works of your ministry. It's to help you come into greater revelation of who you are in Christ and the authority you have in your life because of Christ and all those things that are of the gospel so that you can be a more effective in bearing fruit for the kingdom of God and be equipped in your ministry. What I'm here for is what Janet's here for. What the other fivefold ministries in this place are here for is to equip you. You don't come to watch us. We want to equip you. Okay. Till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Verse 14, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. So whatever clever things are going on, and if there's any plotting going on, if we grow in maturity in Christ, we'll still be equipped for the works of the ministry that are being called to, and we'll still grow up into maturity in Him to the full stature of Christ, regardless of what's happening in the world, regardless of any agendas, whatever it may be. Because of Christ and because of the fivefold ministries, if we're working together, we can see the body grow in maturity, be equipped for the works of ministry, which is to go into all the world to preach the gospel to every creature, to heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out demons, amen, to make disciples of all nations. Closing. And this is how Mike is seeing it, and I can't disagree. What if? What if God is using this situation to break idolatry of big ministries and big gatherings? What if God is moving to decentralize the big church focus and grow small communities and homes? What if God is calling the church to equip and empower believers and release them to ministry? We know that some of the most effective ministry that goes on in Living Waters Christian Center goes on in the small groups. That's the whole point. But I want to say this, that the Act Church and Acts met in homes, and then as it was able, met in large gatherings. So it's not either or. It's not forsaking the fellowship of yourself together as a manner of some. So and. So we will do the and as much as we can. We'll do the and as regular as we can. But the reality is, the season we seem to have come into, there's going to be a lot of power, a lot of discipleship, a lot of growth, a lot of strength come about. And the groups that are gathering in homes with good leadership, good connection, good equipping, good live streaming in. We'll be live streaming the messages in and so on and so forth, trying to empower and equip the leaders and also trying to develop and grow more leaders. This is an incredible opportunity right now to mobilize more people into effective, fruitful ministry. For freely we've received, freely we will give, and regardless of the circumstance, you might feel restrained from without, but you don't have to be restrained from within. There might be restrictions from this way, but there's no restriction of what flows this way. Because there's a river inside of us. There's a river that flows from the throne of God Himself. And whether you're in prison, whether you're in the marketplace, whether you're in school, whether you're at home with just one or two other people, that river can flow. No government can shut that river down. No agenda can shut that river down. No demon can shut that river down. The only person that can shut that river down is ourselves. And if you have the attitude not to be shut down, regardless of the circumstance, that river can flow. It can flow on live stream. It can flow on telephone. It can flow in text messages. It can flow in you just speaking on the phone and praying for somebody over the phone and releasing the power of God over the phone. I had a person delivered 5.5 hours ago away, many years ago, on the phone. Got delivered of the witchcraft that was coming against her. I heard her screaming and yelling on the floor. I could tell, just get into a safe place. And in the name of Jesus, I break the power of the witchcraft that's coming against you. It was a work, a business type situation. This was probably 15 years ago. And she got into a safe place. She was on her own in the house. She was a teacher in a particular setting. And had a terrible attack coming against her, and prayed for and broke the power of it off her in Jesus' name. She was delivered and set free and able to function again. There's no limit to the in the distance. There's no issue with distance. It's about faith, anointing, and some attitude. Wherever your voice can go, the power can flow. So we don't have to be limited, amen. In that sense, but this numbers issue is still annoying. I'd be very dishonest with you. I said it was all fun. So, Father, we thank you now, Lord, for the creative ideas that you can release to us, for the attitude that we will release your love and we release your river, whatever circumstance we find ourselves in. And Lord, just as believers in China, believers in some of the African nations, believers in some of the Middle East nations, believers in all sorts of parts of the world through history, found themselves in all sorts of confinement. Yet, Lord, here we are. Yet your church is alive and well. We thank you for generations that have gone before us who overcame, who even though they were pressed on all sides, were not crushed. Even though they were perplexed, Lord, they didn't give up in anxiety. Even though they had restrictions, the love of God was not restricted. And Father, we thank you today that you would give us the grace and the wisdom to know what to do in this hour. The Lord, the decisions we make, we want to have inspiration from you, that you would empower us in every righteous decision. Lord, you would show us where the lines are that are not to be crossed. Lord, you'd give us the power and the courage of our convictions. And Lord, if there's any in this situation here or on live stream that haven't understood the motives behind it, Lord, I pray that, Father, and if there's anything that needs adjusting, we thank you, Lord, that we can be adjusted by the Holy Ghost, by the Word of God. But Lord, today as we stand, this is our convictions. These are my convictions. These are Janice's convictions. And Father, we thank you, Lord, for the team, this fundamental approach. We ask you for strength. We ask you for wisdom. We ask you for anointing. We pray that the life and power of this house would not be diminished, but would only be strengthened through many rivers flowing into the community and into nations beyond. We thank you, Lord, for the love you've given us for each other. We thank you that that love would only build, it would only be strengthened. In Jesus' name, we pray for every other assembly in the city and in this nation. We pray for every other pastor and leadership team. Lord, with their unique circumstances, size circumstances, building circumstances, who are they leasing their buildings off? Who owns their buildings? All sorts of circumstances that leaders find themselves in. Lord, I pray that every church, you would give them wisdom to decide what is best for them. And Lord, we will honor their decisions. Lord, because we're part of a family. We don't always understand the exact reasoning behind a decision, but Lord, they're free to make it. And so we honor your family in this nation. We honor the body of Christ in this nation. Lord, we refuse to get into bitter judgment. We may disagree with opinions and have to express our own view, but we will not get into bitter judgment. Father, give us grace for this hour. Grace and peace that's beyond understanding, and grace that's way beyond human empowerment. Father, we thank you for heaven and all that you've got for us and all that you've done for us. Jesus, help us be faithful to you above all things. Help us honor who and what we need to honor. Help us not cross lines that must not be crossed. Help us know the difference. Help us maintain an attitude for people's freedom to choose what is best for them. We honor you, Lord. Father, we know the days ahead are days of power, days of your glory, days of intensity, days where society is in so much anxiety. But Lord, there are so many becoming open to the gospel. So many are saying, I need a Bible to read. I've heard about this happening in the Bible. Where can I find it in the Bible? I've heard reports of people going door to door and finding people so open to the gospel. I've heard of people online and secular chat groups. How can I get a Bible? I've got a friend who told me about this happening, and how can I get a Bible, and how can I find out about it? We thank you for the harvest that's ripe. Help us be sensitive to the ones who are ripe and be willing to give an account for the hope that's in us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you so much for being with us. I want to do one more thing, and I know we've gone whatever. I want to give opportunity for one more thing. There may be somebody or maybe some people who've come to this meeting, been invited by a friend, or you just felt to turn up and you've never received Jesus into your life. You've never asked him to be your Lord and Savior. You want to become a follower of Jesus. You want to know what's really going on. If that's you, would you slip up your hand? With you. I need to see you, and I want to pray with you. Anybody in this section over here, just ask the person next to you, do you need to give your life to the Lord or back to the Lord? Just ask them. Just ask them. Ask the person next to you. Anybody in this section? Need to ask the person next to you. Anybody in this section? Oh, there should be somebody in this section. Anybody in this section? You need to give your life to the Lord. You need to give your life to Christ. Is that a hand up down the back there? Are you indicating or are you praying? You're praying for me, right? Okay, thank you. God bless. Father, we just thank you right now. We just thank you. And online, we're going to pray. There may be somebody watching online that hasn't received Jesus yet. Or you've been away from him and you want to totally rededicate your life back to him right now. Then let's all pray this together, church. Let's all pray this together. Father, in Jesus' name, I stand here today needing your forgiveness. Lord, I thank you that you are the Son of God. You came and you died on a cross, not for your own sin, but for mine. And Lord, right now, I ask you to forgive me of all of my sin. Come into my heart. Make me a new person. Lord, I know that you want to make me your child. So today, I receive you as my Lord, and you're receiving me as your child. Fill me with your Spirit. In Jesus' name, I ask you to fill my life. You are my Lord. You are my King. I will follow you now. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. God bless you. I need to sing something. I need to sing something. Somebody, if you need to go, God bless you, just go, no problem. But I need to sing something. Can we sing something? How about that one, Worthy? That one we were doing, Your Name Be As Incense. Worthy is your name. That's it. Let's just take a moment to worship together and sing this song together. Let's just take a moment. Thanks for bringing the words up as you're able. I know it takes a few moments sometimes. And then everybody just free to go once we sing this. Yes, we will pray for Paul de Jong. Thank you for reminding me. I've been thinking about that earlier on, it just slipped my mind. Some of you will know that Paul de Jong, great leader in a life church, is very, very, very unwell. He really does need a miracle. And we'll also pray for Murray as he continues to recover from his significant surgery. So Father, just pray right now as you just let that music build. Father, we thank you for Pastor Paul de Jong. And along with his church and along with his family and along with leaders up and down this nation, churches up and down this nation who honor him, Father, as a great leader in your family. Lord, we ask, Father, in Jesus' name, right now in the name of Jesus, I break the power. I come against the power of that disease. I come against the power of its invasion of his body. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And right now from Living Waters Christian Center and many other centers up and down the nation will be praying for Paul today. In the name of Jesus, we release your power into his body. We release your power into his body. We release your power into his body. We curse that disease in the name of Jesus. We curse that disease in the name of Jesus. We curse that disease in the name of Jesus. We curse that disease in the name of Jesus. Spirit of infirmity, loose his body. Spirit of infirmity, loose his body in Jesus' name. Spirit of infirmity, loose his body in Jesus' name. Lord, let him encounter your power and your grace right in his body right now in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. And Father, we thank you for Murray. Lord, Murray Groves as he's in Hamilton recovering from his major surgery. We pray, Lord, for Murray and Karen, but especially Murray, as you continue to help him recover from this whole experience, Lord, this whole situation. In the name of Jesus, we come against any attempt of infection to get a hold on any part of his body. We thank you, Lord, for the complete annihilation of every cancer cell that was in his body. In Jesus' name, and we release your power. Murray, if you're watching, we release the power of God into your life right now, Murray. In the name of Jesus, we release the power of God into your life right now. And for you, Karen, we love you both so dearly. We just release the power of God into your body right now to accelerate in a healthy way your recovery. In Jesus' name, Lord, we come against any pain, Lord, that's not being managed. We break the power of it. We break the power of the trauma off your body, off every surgical wound, off every place that was manipulated or moved or wounded. We break that trauma off you in Jesus' name, and we release the peace of God into your body, the peace of God into your body right now. Thank you, Father, right now. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. God bless you both. We love you both. Looking forward to seeing you both again. Father, we just thank you now as we worship you. Let's just take it away. Just bring those words up if you can.
Jesus, you deserve the praise. Worthy is your name. Worthy is your name. Jesus, deserve the praise. Worthy is your name. Worthy is your name, Jesus. You deserve the praise. Worthy is your name.
Worthy is your name, Jesus. You deserve the praise.
Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. Worthy is your name. Worthy is your name. Worthy is your name. Worthy is your name. Jesus, you deserve the praise. Worthy is your name.
Let's sing it one more time.
Worthy is your name, Jesus. Worthy is the praise. Worthy is your name.
Oh yes, oh God. Oh worthy. Worthy is your name. Father, we thank you today that as we leave this place, Father, I thank you for your anointing on our lives and your presence with us. Lord, you said you would not leave us as orphans, and you've totally kept your word. Lord, I thank you that each person in this place as they go, and every person watching online, would experience your presence and power so very tangibly in their lives and around their lives all week. Lord, I thank you that you love us so powerfully, so perfectly, so wonderfully. We thank you, Lord, that every person who's anxious, every person who's had to make a very difficult decision, every person who's wondering what the future holds, every person in society, whether they know you or not, and many who do not know you that are anxious and worried, Lord, I pray that in their dreams, Lord, even you would just give them encounters with you. Lord, that you would point the way to you. Lord, that the harvesters that are being released right up and down this nation with the love of God and the word of God would be able to reach into people's lives and bring them hope. Lord, I thank you that you'll gather so many to yourself and bring them into your family and give them the hope of eternal life and the knowledge of your presence with them always. Father, we ask this in Jesus' beautiful name. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. God bless you all. Have an amazing life. Have an amazing week. God bless you. I think we're meeting here tonight at 7, aren't we? Yeah, we are. We are for a hurrah. And come with an expectation in your heart. And come being willing to, press in for a word of knowledge or a prophetic word. Amen. God bless you. Have a great afternoon.